Welcome to CME on ReachMD. This episode is part of our Minute CE curriculum. Prior to beginning the activity, please be sure to review the faculty and commercial support disclosure statements, as well as the learning objectives.
Hello and welcome. Today we are going to talk about a case involving treatment selection for ROS1 rearranged non-small cell lung cancer in a patient with brain metastasis. I'm Dr. Charu Agarwal. I'm an associate professor at University of Pennsylvania, and I'm joined together by my colleague, Dr. Alex Drillon. So Alex, I saw a second opinion in my clinic. This is a patient, 60-year-old, never smoker, presented with headaches actually to her primary care physician. No significant past medical history, well-controlled hypertension. Physical exam was fine. A CAT scan was performed because of ongoing headaches and revealed a solitary brain lesion measuring about 2 centimeters that was confirmed with an MRI. A CAT scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis was subsequently performed that showed a left lower lobe lung mass, mediastinal and hilar lymphadenopathy. Bronchial biopsy was performed and demonstrated non-small cell lung cancer consistent with an adenocarcinoma, and initial IHC features supported a diagnosis of adenocarcinoma, and PD-L1 testing revealed a score of 90%. The patient was seen by a local oncologist and was initiated on immunotherapy with pembrolizumab based on the PD-L1 status, as well as referred to radiation oncology for management of this somewhat symptomatic brain met. Then the patient came in to see me. You know, it's not unusual that we see this. So when I saw the patient, I ordered genomic sequencing. And lo and behold, given that this patient had a never smoking history, we found that the patient had a ROS1 fusion. 2 cycles in to immunotherapy. How would you manage this patient at this point in time?
Yeah, there are lots of layers to this case, Charu. And the first thing to call out is the approach to the never smoker with metastatic lung cancer. And many other people have shared my strategy, which is, you know, you assume that there's a very good likelihood that you'll find a driver in the cancer, in which case you might start targeted therapy. And we also know that the second piece is that these cancers with oncogenes, most of them don't really respond well to immunotherapy. So certainly, even in the setting of PD-L1 high result, I would not have chosen for this never smoking patient single agent immune therapy. And what I would have done would be to give platinum-based systemic therapy without immunotherapy, and wait for the sequencing to see if, true enough, there is a driver that's present. Is that your approach as well for a never-smoking patient, Charu?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so incredibly important to potentially wait for the next generation sequencing results if we can. If patients don't have a lot of symptoms, I tend to wait. But I agree with your approach that if we have to begin with something, begin with chemotherapy and never immunotherapy for these folks.
Yes. And going to what we would do now, so someone's been on single agent checkpoint inhibition for 2 cycles. There's also brain met that's sitting there. I think that as long as there are no concerns on the side effect front, going to tyrosine kinase inhibition here would be the preferred strategy. And we know that because the likelihood of response both intracranially and extracranially is high, and the likelihood of longer durability compared to chemotherapy is also good. Charu, there is one question, though, which is fairly common. Is radiation something that you would consider for this brain metastasis?
Yeah, so I think this is a tough one. And the reason why I say this is because this patient is moderately symptomatic. You know, the lesion is sizable. There is some edema, But there are headaches. So I think this is a patient that we could have a very candid conversation with, not just with the patient, but also with the radiation oncologist. There's one of two approaches we could do. We could go ahead and treat with a stereotactic approach or a gamma knife approach. Or secondly, we could say, let's start with an intracranial penetrant TKI and really observe within a very short window, maybe get a scan in 4 to 6 weeks to see where we land and then make a decision about radiation. But I think it really, I think in this case, is going to be driven by symptoms. And then finally, Alex, just wanted to ask you what your thoughts are about the holding immunotherapy and changing to chemotherapy or going on to TKI in cases such as this.
So this is another nuanced conversation because we know that there are several cases of increased side effects with TKI therapy in the wake of having received immune therapy. And in my practice, it really boils down to how pressing the need is for debulking the cancer. If someone is highly symptomatic and you can't really afford to wait, then I think coming in with your best therapy, which is in this case a TKI, and watching that patient very closely, watching their LFTs and other potential IRAEs is a strategy to take. If somebody who has relatively indolent disease is not symptomatic, feels well, then it's not unreasonable to wait to start the next therapy, especially in this case where you've given two cycles. You can perhaps do follow-up imaging to see if there was any effect before switching to another systemic therapy.
This has been terrific insights. Thank you for joining me in this case discussion, and we'll see you later.
You've been listening to CME on ReachMD. This activity is jointly provided by Global Learning Collaborative, GLC, and Total CME LLC, and is part of our Minute CE curriculum. To receive your free CME credit or to download this activity, go to reachmd.com/CME. Thank you for listening.